Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Boy, it's a beautiful day here at the BEL cabin in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, November 4th, and it's nice and balmy out. It's warm. What's with this? I tell you, this global warming thing is going to kill the Arabs. They're just going to hate it. I mean, it's going to be even hotter in Saudi Arabia. And if it gets any warmer, we'll use less fuel for heat this winter, and the demand for oil will fall further. Yikes, if you're the sheik. Trouble. Oh, it's also election day. It's election day. And so many of my friends look like they're going into a deep depression. And that's, I mean, come on, guys. We can get through this. Here at Bob Inyart Live, we've survived now through 5 presidential election cycles while on the air, and we could get through this together. I mean, if McCain won, right, against all odds, if McCain won tomorrow, we could say, I have good news and bad news, and what do you want to hear first? I could ask the studio audience, what do you guys want to hear first, the good news or the bad news? All right, the good news. The good news is Obama lost. The bad news is McCain won. That's if McCain won. Now, today, I voted for Alan Keyes, and that was just so uplifting, encouraging, right, good, just wonderful to vote for a true statesman who is committed to honor and obey God and his enduring command, do not murder. Don't have a plan to murder the innocent as your way of fixing the country. And, of course, Alan Keyes' vice presidential running mate, Brian Rohrbaugh, on the American Independent Party. So it was a great time. Cheryl and I went together to vote. We voted on all the amendments and the referendums, and we voted no on all the judges, although that's just cathartic. There's no benefit to that. It's just making a statement. No on all the judges. Our phone number here, if you'd like to call in to talk about the election, 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. I'd like to make some predictions if Obama wins, and I'll use an article by Fred Barnes, you know, Fred Barnes, publisher of the Weekly Standard, and he has an article in today's Wall Street Journal where he writes that America could be in for a lurch to the left. And I'll look at some of his predictions, and then I'll address them. He writes, Fred Barnes writes that a President Obama would not face the same constraints as his Democratic predecessors. So Democrats have won in the past, and they haven't quite been able to get their program through. Now, if you want real big spending, social spending, it's best to elect a Republican. If you want to introduce a brand new entitlement package, socialism, billions and billions of dollars of brand new entitlement spending, the best thing to do is elect George W. Bush, and he'll give you prescription drug benefits. So quite often, when you want to really come through with massive spending increases, massive, what you need to do is elect a Republican, and then you'll get that. When you elect a Democrat, the Republicans pretend to be against spending increases, and so they oppose the Democratic White House and their request for spending increases. So if that was truly your concern, out-of-control federal spending on social programs, no less, which are utterly destructive, and then if you weren't going to vote based on God's enduring principles of right and wrong, then you might as well vote for the Democrat. On the other hand, you might not want to throw away your vote, so you can't vote for Alan Keyes, so don't throw away your vote. So you might have to vote for Barack Obama again, because why throw away your vote? I mean, certainly that was the case in Illinois when Barack Obama ran against Alan Keyes for the U.S. Senate seat that he currently holds. So Fred Barnes writes in today's Wall Street Journal, there's an old saying that politics in America is played between the 40-yard lines. And what this means for those unfamiliar with football is that we're a centrist country, never straying very far to the left or the right in elections or national politics. Now, this has been true for decades, but Fred Barnes writes, it probably will not be true after today's election. And he's saying that we're going to move far to the left. And then we'll get to his predictions here in just one moment. But to continue with Fred Barnes' article here, he says, for the first time since the 1960s, liberal Democrats are dominant. Now, you always thought that all Democrats were liberal, but we're talking about real liberal. We're talking about MoveOn.org liberal. That's what we're talking here. For the first time since the 60s, liberal Democrats are dominant. They are all but certain to have a lopsided majority in the House of Representatives and perhaps a filibuster-proof Senate or something close to it. If Barack Obama wins the presidency today, they will have an ideological ally in the White House. So do you remember back a few years ago when MoveOn.org, now this is not Fred Barnes, this is Bob Enyart, MoveOn.org was refusing to compromise with moderate Democrats. They were enraged against moderate, compromising Democrats. And they were pushing for the Democratic Party to nominate the most godless, the most socialist, the most anti-American, the most pro-abortion candidate they could possibly field, and they got him. It only took them a few years of advocating principle over politics, and they got him, Barack Obama, the most liberal senator in Congress. They got him. And it reminds me of the strategy of American Right to Life, saying we will not tolerate compromise Republicans who are moderates, who support killing hundreds of thousands of innocent children. We won't support them. And so those who think that they will one day find salvation for this country in the Republican Party, if you think there's any hope, that strategy is the only hope. That is the only hope. The strategy of supporting the Republican nominee, no matter how godless, how pro-homosexual, how pro-abortion he is, guess what? That strategy is not going to work. Because it just brings you down into the pit. That's all it does. It doesn't bring the Republican Party up to serve the cause of righteousness. It brings you down into the pit. And if you're continuing to advocate supporting the lesser of two evils, then your standard of behavior is no longer based on right and wrong or righteousness. You are tracking the wickedness, and wickedness will bring you along with it down into the pit, deeper and deeper down. And that's your standard. So, American Right to Life, in fact, I was CC'd on an email this morning from the brilliant John Haskins. I've been searching out this John Haskins on the internet, and he's just brilliant. I've not known about him until just about a month ago. And an email, he sent an email to some of the no compromise pro-life talk show hosts around the country, Greg Jackson in Los Angeles, Steve Deese in Des Moines, Iowa, and many strong pro-life leaders. And this John Haskins wrote this just today. He said, I suggest that we must get into a disciplined routine of following every negative reference to a counterfeit group or leader with a quick reference and link to the real deal. He says, we should do what Sam Adams said. All right? He said, we should do as Samuel Adams said. We have to be a tireless, irate minority. Every time we make a negative reference to a counterfeit group or leader, we should follow that with a quick reference and link to the real deal. For example, when you mention National Right to Life, follow up with a quick reference and link to American Right to Life. That's pretty neat. He says, we don't have any heavy artillery. We hardly have any media at all. Therefore, we have to be a tireless, irate minority. Pretty encouraging, John Haskins. That's encouraging. That's a vision. That's determination. That's not depression. That's not defeatism. How can you be defeated when you're following the Lord? How could you be defeated? Things are going bad? Have you ever opened a history book? When did they go well? Things are going bad? The godless are in power? I mean, have you ever looked in an encyclopedia? What's the history of the world like? Have you ever opened the Bible, the sacred record of the history of the world? What, it's usually all coming up daisies? I mean, life is rough. People have a hatred for God. We're in the long war against God. And so this is just another day in the battle. Well, let's get back to Fred Barnes' article in today's Wall Street Journal. And by the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. In a moment, I'm going to mention something about Vision Forum. Vision Forum is a very successful, very influential homeschool Christian media ministry out of San Antonio, Texas. And they do the Jonathan Park Adventure Series. In a moment, I'm going to mention them. But back to Fred Barnes, his Wall Street Journal article today that America could be in for a lurch to the left. And he thinks after today's election that the liberal Democrats, not the normal Democrats, but the hardcore left-wing Democrats will be in control. So he writes, a sharp lurch to the left, an enactment of a liberal agenda, are all but inevitable. The centrist limits of earlier Democrats are gone. In the short run, Democrats might be constrained by the budget deficit and a weak economy, but get ready for massive spending programs. That's what he writes. Okay, and so then Fred Barnes makes some predictions. But as far as the massive spending programs, you get those with Republican presidents. I mean, you get those where the Republican presidents outspend. And even the growth in spending surpasses what the Democratic administrations were able to perform. You get George W. Bush in office, and what happens to Planned Parenthood? When George W. Bush was elected, the Republicans had the House of Representatives and the Senate, and they had 7 of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices, so we had about everything. And we had about 60% of the federal judiciary. So we had it all, the Republicans. And spending for Planned Parenthood soared by tens of millions of dollars a year. It's what, over $200 million a year. So what are they talking about? Now, we'll go to the phones in one moment, but real quickly. So Fred Barnes says, well, here's what's likely to happen. Much of the Democratic agenda, they could pull this off without spending a lot of money. He said the fairness doctrine to stifle conservative talk radio, that they can do that. Here's my prediction. Bob Inert Live, they're not going to do that in an Obama presidency. That's where they tell talk shows like this one, well, you have to give equal time to both sides of every political issue. A prediction here, Bob Inert Live, they're not going to do the fairness doctrine. You're going to have liberal judicial nominees. Okay, that would be a concern if we got conservative ones from Republicans, but we get only pro-abortion judges. So we get judges who are pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-pornography, pro-child pornography from our own Republican U.S. Supreme Court. They're ruling on child pornography, pro-child pornography, and anti-creation. And he says, we're going to get a retreat from Iraq with Barack as president. Let me make a prediction. President Hussein Obama, what's his name? Barack Hussein Obama will not retreat from Iraq. That's a prediction. You heard it here on Bubba Inert Live. We're going to get talks with Iran. Prediction, we're not. Those are predictions. I'm not a prophet. I just watch. Let's go to Littleton, Colorado. Chris, welcome to Bubba Inert Live.
Hey, what's up?
The election.
Yeah, I know, huh? You don't like that Obama guy, huh?
I don't like Obama at all, Chris.
I don't know why. I think he's pretty good. Don't you think everything's been don't know, pretty messed up for a while.
I think things are pretty messed up in our country. And, hey, Chris, when you pick a leader, what is the top one or two principles that you abide by?
Oh, I like to have someone who shares the same ideas as me. I don't think that...
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Chris, your first principle is you. You're your standard. People have to agree with me, with you, I mean. Because I have a standard that says that I could be wrong on any of 10,000 issues, but I was created by God, and so I want leaders who will humble themselves before God and agree with Him, not agree with me.
Well, God's been the problem with most of our country, and God has gotten us into a lot of problems. There's been so many wars fought over God. President Bush follows God with all his moves, and it doesn't get us anywhere. We still tortured people. We don't do anything by God if you say we follow God.
All right, Chris, so let me see if I understand. You're saying that your standard for a leader is they should be like you, Chris from Littleton, and your accusation is against God. God is the one who's the source of these problems.
I think God has a lot to do with these problems.
And
I think people should not worry about God when they make decisions about people. We have no reason to know anything about God. There's so many different people who believe different things. Leave God out of everything we do. It shouldn't pertain to anything. God can't. I don't see how following God's will, when we don't even know what God's will is, will get us anywhere helpful.
Well, God told us, do not murder, do not steal, do not kidnap.
When did you talk to God? No one talked to God.
I'll give you two answers. One, when God made us, He put a conscience within us. That's why kids know that it's wrong to steal from one another, even though they violate that and they do it. And
kids know it's wrong to steal because they're taught that it's wrong to steal.
So that
kids that grow up when they don't have parents and don't have, of course they're going to do crimes. They're not taught all the principles and morals that our parents teaching us.
Chris,
these things aren't born with us.
Chris, we have within us a conscience that tells us right from wrong, although we often violate that conscience. And even people who utterly reject that, they say there's no such thing. In fact, they say there's no such thing as right or wrong. Let's say gang members who are rapists and murderers, right? And they say there's no such thing as right and wrong. There's no such thing as God. If you take some money from them, they get mad at you. They don't think, oh, that's just neutral. They recognize you have wronged them because you took their property. And if a gang member has a wife and you try to seduce her, he recognizes, he gets angry that you've wronged me. And if you kill his brother, he gets mad at you because you've wronged him and you've wronged his brother. So
that has nothing to do with God.
So,
God,
Chris,
because your brother got killed, if there was no God, if someone's brother got killed, you're going to miss your brother.
Well,
that has nothing to do with God.
Chris,
God.
I'm arguing that we have a conscience within us, and even you, even while you're denying that there is a God or you're denying that you have a conscience, even you will exhibit that conscience.
I didn't have a conscience. I know there's right from wrong, but I'm saying that there's...
Okay, where does it come from?
We don't get that from God. We get it from who we grow up with. People think... You go anywhere in the world, people think different things are right and wrong.
All right, Chris. So if somebody grew up in Germany where many people thought that the Jews were the problem, you just said God was the problem. In Germany... Many
have you been to Abu Ghraib?
Chris, in Germany, many people thought the Jews were the problem. So if they grew up with that and they thought the Jews were the problem, because they grew up with that belief, that doesn't mean they were right, and they were right to solve the problem, the final solution, and kill the Jews.
No, but
they were wrong.
Came from God.
Huh?
That belief must have came from God then. Where'd it come from?
No, we could judge. Listen, Chris. We could judge that the Germans were wrong. Were the Germans wrong for what they did?
I think that they were wrong, yeah.
Okay, we could judge that they were wrong. By what standard? If it's the standard of majority, the majority rules, it's what we're taught by our parents, by that standard, they weren't wrong.
No, I think it's the standard of we respect people. That doesn't have to involve religion. You have to respect people. We're all people. We should respect animals. We should respect...
Well, Chris, that's your opinion, right? And I imagine you don't think you have the right to force your opinion on other people.
No, but
so there are skinheads. Listen,
you're talking about God.
Chris,
like,
there are skinheads who don't want to respect blacks.
Right?
So I can say that they are wrong because God made blacks, Jews, and whites in his image and his likeness. You could say to the skinhead, I don't like what you're doing, but you have no standard by which to rebuke them.
No, because I don't believe in this. I believe in respecting everybody. If you don't, that's my standard. If you don't, you can't discriminate. I don't believe in any discrimination, homosexuality. I don't care what it is. We shouldn't. We're all people. I believe that people, if they do something bad like murder or rape, then that's when we can. It has nothing to do with their race, nothing to do with their sexual preference. None of that should even matter when we.
And so I asked you, where do these principles of right and wrong come from? I'm glad that you acknowledged.
Don't you think this country was built on equality? We still have not even gotten close to equality. We think everything is equal, but nothing is. There's still, look how much this race card has been brought up just by this nomination. And then the homosexuality debate, I'm not gay. I don't care if you're gay or not. That's up to you. That shouldn't be anyone else's.
Yeah.
I think there's no room for the government to come in and tell you who to. I don't know. That's just getting crazy if you ask me.
All right. So, Chris, you acknowledged that the behavior of entire cultures could be judged as wrong, right? You've acknowledged that.
Uh-huh.
And yet you said we get the sense of right and wrong from our parents.
We get a lot of it from our parents.
Well, we certainly may well get ideas of right and wrong from our parents because they also have a conscience. But if right and wrong was simply instilled by our parents and that's it, then the Germans grew up with parents who led them to believe that the Jews needed to be removed.
Or do you think government propaganda had something to do with that? I think that had a lot to do with a lot of the reasons we were in Iraq. That has a lot to do with the anti-Muslim sentiment.
And if the government teaches something that's wrong, like you just called it government propaganda, that means, again, you're saying there must be a standard out there by which we could judge the statements of government, by which we could determine whether the government was right and wrong. So what is, Chris... What is that standard to determine right from wrong? You just said honesty. Hitler was pretty honest in Mein Kampf. He wanted to do away with the Jews. So honesty is not the standard.
Except the way they went about it, they told a lot of lies to get people to agree with them.
That's true, but the honest skinhead is not what we need. We don't need an honest racist, an honest Nazi. We don't need an honest child molester. So honesty is not the standard. So where is the standard? I think you could see now that the standard of right and wrong is not what your parents teach you. That's not it. Because that's often wrong. Entire cultures are wrong often. So, Chris, where does that standard come from of right and wrong?
It's not from God. As you grow up, you learn things. You develop. You become...
Well, people disagree, Chris, and most of the people in the world don't know you, so you can't
be
the standard.
If there was God, why would everybody disagree on everything if everyone has the same conscience that everything's right and wrong?
That's a great question. Now, that's a great question. God has given us freedom to love or hate him, to love or hate our parents, to love or hate our wife, to love or hate blacks or Iraqis. We could be apathetic and not care if Iraqis are killed by the tens of thousands. We could just not care. So we have freedom, so God has put within us a compass of right and wrong so that we know if we steal and we lie for our own benefit, we steal somebody else's wife, we could know in our heart we're doing wrong, but we could become hard-hearted. And the more we do wrong, the easier it becomes.
Well, if you hurt people, that in my heart, that's what gets me. I don't like to hurt other people.
Well, Chris, if there is a God who made you and who made us, and he's told us, do not murder, don't kill the innocent, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and you're out there telling people, it doesn't matter what God says, you're hurting people more than most.
Well, I didn't. No, it does. I don't think that the word of God is bad. I don't. People come up to me all the time and try to get me to come to church with them and all that. But I'm just, I don't believe in it. I don't. I think it's a good message. I think it's a good story.
How did you get here, Chris?
How did I get here?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that, and neither do you.
Well,
that's
no.
why I don't think I should waste my whole life.
All right,
trying to
Chris, we do know how you got here.
Nobody knows.
Let me give you one example, okay? Just one.
Just listen. You're a person.
Yes.
I'm a person. No other
person. How do you know I'm a person? Wait, that's another another story.
I'm not stupid.
It's
you because of
our, it's because of our human DNA, the same reason we know that a fetus is a person. But that's another story. Chris, let me give you one example of how we know that I know that you didn't evolve. You're not an animal. You know, fish eat other fish. It's not wrong for a fish to eat a fish. They're just animals. But you're a person. But let me give you one example how I know you did not evolve, all right?
Okay.
The heart of evolution. The heart. Think about your heart in your body right now. It's pumping.
Gotcha.
Imagine that you were some kind of organism that had no heart. You had no central pump. You had no veins and arteries. No system of pipes for the heart to pump blood through. But then somehow, by a series of accidents that would be collected by natural selection, some kind of a pump started to form. But it didn't have any pipes to pump anything through. There were no pipes. But the pump just started forming. And then by another accident, the pipe started forming, and then they had to attach to the pump. Or did the pipes form first when there was no pump? And the pipes, the veins and arteries, they were just utterly useless. And they just formed over millions of years, this whole system, for no reason, and eventually maybe a pump would form. I mean, that's such a simple thing that a human being could think about, the impossibility of a system of a pump with separate chambers, ventricles, and arteries and veins. Utterly impossible to develop step by step. It had to be designed. You were made by a creator, Chris.
No. Everything around us is evolving. I'm at school right now. We're doing this thing, testing the antibacteria soap, you know, you use. And they're finding that more and more we use that, the more bacteria are evolving and becoming resistant.
And those resistant strains of bacteria are less effective. They're less functional. They are less efficient at using energy because they become resistant by breaking down in some way. And so when they break down, then this antibiotic no longer kills them because they broke in some way. Chris, that's not an example of an increase in genetic information. That's an example of something breaking down.
Well, can you explain, how about go back to...
Let's do it on another show. Please, call Screener. I'll take your number if you'd like. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And vote today, Alan Keyes, Amendment 48. May God bless you.